little bit of background here, guys. I've been preaching for a couple of weeks. We're in Colossians last week. We've been talking about kind of dying to self and living for the Lord and stuff. And so last week was called Beyond All. And in Colossians 3, I think it's 14, says, Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The week before, we were over in Ephesians, which talks about a similar, or in Peter, it talks about a similar thing, right? Above all, fervently love one another from the heart, right? Because love covers a multitude of sin. So we're seeing, we're going to take a little bit of a break from that. And this past week on Wednesday at our prayer meeting here, there was a couple of us and then a couple of guys on our Zoom call. We've been Zooming. So if you guys can't make it and you can make it on Zoom, go, get on Zoom. We're here. And we had a good time. We had three or four people on Zoom with us. But one of our brothers on Zoom said he'd been reading Psalm 37. And so I said, man, you know, start reading a little bit. Give us, what do you got? So he started reading Psalm 37. And I said, my goodness, is that a good psalm? Amen. Anybody know it's in Psalm 37? There's some good stuff in there. Verse 4, which I'm not even preaching on today, but verse Psalm 37, 4 is, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll fulfill the desires of your heart. Right? And some really powerful stuff in Psalm 37. So we're going to be in Psalm 37 this morning because we just prayed through it. And it was just, for me, it was so inspiring. And I realized that, you know, with all the noise going on in our culture right now, all the stuff in the news, and I don't even really watch the news, but it's just you can't get away from it nowadays. Amen. Every time you turn around, either it's on TV somewhere or somebody's telling, did you see what's on the news? You know, did you see what so-and-so said? Can't be on Facebook anymore without, you know, Facebook and Instagram's getting blown up by this stuff. It's everywhere we look. There's some kind of noise about what's going on in the culture. And as I shared with the early service, I've never been like a Chicken Little kind of guy. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's falling. Like, I almost think it would be easier like that, because if I freaked out, I'd know I'm freaking out. You know, but for me, I like, stuff gets in and I grind on it. You know, and all of a sudden I realize, like, why do I feel so heavy? Why do I feel so down? Why do I feel so discouraged? Why do I feel like, because it's like, it's been like trickling in. You know, and it's polluting. It can pollute our minds. Can I get amen? All right. So, we're gonna bring some kingdom this morning. We're gonna try to. The Lord's really on me to say, we gotta step back, man, and lift our eyes off of all the noise and all the junk going on. Lift your eyes up to the hills where our help comes from. Right. Our help comes from the Lord. Right. The last 3 months, guys, we've been like 3 months now since COVID broke out and then the George Floyd incident. And for me, like, this is just me, right? I'm not being critical at all. But just for me, like, when the COVID-19 thing hit, I just didn't buy it. I didn't buy it, especially what the media was saying. I didn't buy any of it. Like, I know it's real. I know we've got people in our church have been affected by it. So please, I'm not downplaying that at all. But the way the media pitched it, it's like fear, 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 you know, hide, don't go outside, don't do this, don't, you know. It's like, come on, man. People die from stuff every day. We don't hide in our houses because of that. Man alive. And I just saw, guys, I'm just telling you, it's my opinion. This is not the Lord. This is my opinion. This is my view. I'm the preacher. I got the mic. I'm going to share my view a little bit. I saw something in that. There was an agenda coming through our media. That's just what I saw. So from day one, I looked at COVID and I was like, look, COVID is just another disease. It's not new. It's been around. They just labeled it something now. Can I get amen? And what I just felt in my heart from day one was that Jesus, the Lord says, look, I shed my blood for that just like I shed my blood for everything else. Right? I mean, if somebody comes in, you know, we say, well, cancer, I got the big C. No, I know the big C. You got the little C, all right? Can I get amen, right? I don't care what sickness somebody's got. The blood of Jesus shed his blood on the cross for sickness, right? If whoever's sick among you, lay hands on him, let the elders lay hands on him, and a prayer of faith will heal the sick, right? And I tell you what else is interesting, guys. There's no scripture in the Bible that says nobody's ever going to get sick, even in the New Covenant. There's people in the New Testament that got sick. But what did they do? Lay hands on them. In Jesus' name, you are going to recover, right? So I looked at COVID. I'm like, whatever. That was just me, right? I, I didn't buy into all the hype. I wear masks, okay, and just in case anybody's on YouTube or gets upset. I do wear a mask if I go somewhere, all right? I'm respecting everybody. But you see what I'm saying? Like, it never bothered me. The last 6 weeks since George Floyd was killed and watching our country, like, here's what's interesting about COVID. You watch COVID, even though there was some, like, we have, like, the mask crowd and the no mask crowd, you know what I mean? But the country was, like, coming together, right? We kind of were, all right, let's you know, there were signs everywhere, you know. I forget what all the signs say, but, you know, like, hey, you know, let's all, we're on this together and all this stuff. George Floyd hits, and within days, all of that is out the window. And the country is destroying itself, ripping itself apart. And, guys, you know, I'll just be straight with you. Like I said, the COVID-19 thing, that didn't bother me one bit. Was never afraid of it, not for 1 second. What we're watching in the last 6 weeks in our country scares me. I'm not afraid of it, but I'm concerned. Right? I never thought we'd see this kind of turmoil in America. Can I get an amen? I never thought I'd see this kind of turmoil in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is all over the map on this, on how to deal with what's going on, right? And so I'm looking at this thing going, like, the Lord's just saying, man, you got to step back, because it's so easy to get sucked into a particular narrative about it, whichever narrative it is that you get sucked into, right? Everybody's got their opinions on it. And the Lord's saying, just step back, man. Step back in kingdom. You need to be kingdom-minded. Right? Don't get sucked into this stuff. Right? Can I get amen? So Psalm 37. Let's turn over there. We're going to pick it up in verse 23. And we'll just see how I can definitely get through this whole sermon. Like I said, this morning was a little on the shorter side. And we prayed, and it was real good anyway, but we prayed and prophesied a little bit. But Psalm 37, verse 23 is where we're going to pick it up. And it says this: the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. I'm just going to read through it, then we'll back up and teach and preach a little bit. Verse 24, when he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. All day long, he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Now, this is, guys, right, this is almost perfectly smack in the middle of Psalm 37. And as I was reading through it a couple times this week and just looking at it, there's so much stuff in there. But I felt like these four verses were kind of like the climax of this psalm. If you read kind of how it starts off and how it ends and whatever, to me, like, this is right in, like, it kind of like goes up a mountain and then hits the pinnacle and then comes back down. And these four verses to me are like right at the, like, here's what we're supposed to really grab onto, right? There's a lot of stuff in here about the wicked and the wicked are going to come against the righteous, but the Lord's going to come up and he's going to deal with the wicked and all these things. But to me, it's like, here's the big kicker, the big point we got to grab out of it. So start in verse 23. He says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Notice that it's a capital H. He, God, delights in his way, my way, right? And I want to touch on something, first of all, real quickly here, that there's something in the body of Christ that I think part of what's going on with all the chaos in our culture is that the Lord is as I've been saying this for 3 months, man, the Lord is stripping some things away from the body of Christ. Can I get amen? There's some things that we've built on that are just sand. It's got nothing to do with the kingdom. It's got nothing to do with God. It's man. It's man stuff. It's religion. It's entertainment. It's programs. And it's got nothing really to do with the kingdom. And here's one of the things that we've said. I've heard this. You don't got to dig far to hear this kind of stuff. It's like this: hey, man, God's going to give you a dream, and God's going to fulfill your dreams, and God's going to fulfill your dreams, and God's going to fulfill your dream, and your dream, and your dream, and your dream. And it's like, well, let's look in the Bible, because in the Bible, there's a lot of dreams in the Bible, but you know, the dreams are not, it's not my dream that God's going to make come true. That's Disney World. Amen. God would give someone a dream that radically changed their life, and it was his dream that was fulfilled in their life that exalted his kingdom, not their kingdom, in their little world, right? The dream from God is about the corporate well-being, about making the kingdom better, not about me getting my name in lights. Can I get amen, right? Just take the story of Joseph. It's such a good one. We all know that one, I think, right? He has two dreams about, he's the second youngest, all these kids, right? He has two dreams. The first dream is like his both dreams mean the same thing. His parents and his brothers are all going to bow down to him. So if you follow this story out, we know that Joseph gets sold into slavery, gets sold to Egypt, works for Potiphar, gets put in prison twice, finally gets exalted and all these things. But if you go all the way to the end of this story, the dream is not about Joseph. The dream is given to Joseph to save Judah, who's his brother. Because Judah is who Jesus comes from. So if Joseph doesn't go get exalted in Egypt, he wouldn't have saved Judah from the, Judah would have died in the famine, right? So the dream of Joseph, right? The multicolored coat of Joseph, Joseph's entire journey, that whole dream, all the stuff Joseph went through was to save Judah. It wasn't about Joseph. Right? So it's like, how many times can we go through something where we're like, oh, look how God's going to use me? He's like, yeah, but I'm actually using you to bless somebody else. It's not about you. It's about, I've got something for them to do, but I need you to do something so that they can do what they got to do. Right? So what I've seen in the church, and I've talked about this before, y'all, but it's like this very individualized gospel message, right? Like, you got a plan. And what you watch what it's produced. We've been saying that for 30 years. And what's it produced in the body of Christ is this very splintered, individualistic church. And I remember years back, I heard one preacher at a conference saying, here's how we should be saying it. You know, when we bring the gospel to somebody, he says, look, God has one plan, and he's got room for you in it. Right? So it's not, I got to figure out what my plan is. Oh, pastor, what's God's plan for my life? To be like Jesus. That's what his plan is for your life. You work on that and everything else will line up, right? It's not about like, I'm going to fulfill this dream. I'm going to become the CEO of this company. Well, maybe, but it's about becoming like Jesus. That's the goal, right? And bringing the kingdom forward. Does that make sense, you guys? 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. So really how we could read this, if we read it improperly, is we could read it as saying, like many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord will direct his steps, right? And again, we think about it like this. I'm going to make all these plans, and then the Lord's going to make all my plans come true. And it's like, he's like, no. Go ahead and pray, make some plans, make sure they're written in pencil, and you got a big eraser. Write them on a whiteboard and have the cleaner ready, right? Like, you know, write them in invisible ink. Can I get amen? It's, hey man, plan, pray, cool. But when you start walking, make sure that you're allowing the Lord to adjust that plan, because he's probably gonna. You understand what I'm saying? When he said this, when David here says the steps of a man are established by the Lord, he's not saying I can do whatever I want and God's going to establish my steps. That's not what he's saying. He says when I put my steps down and pick up God's steps, then he's going to start establishing my steps. Right? As I surrender what I want to do to what God's called me to do, be like Jesus, number one, everybody, right? That's a lifelong journey, right? Forget about anything else you think you want to do. Being like Jesus is a lifelong journey. You're going to be grinding that out till the day you stop breathing. That, once I agree to that, it's like then God's going to start guiding me and leading me to do certain things. Can I get amen? Right? This is what he's saying. And God, he says, God delights in his way. It's, again, not me doing whatever I want. And God's like, wow, that's a great idea. He's like, when you surrender to my ways, then I delight as you surrender to my ways. Can I get amen? It's like this. Think about, like, you know, we talk, oh, God loves you, God loves you. Yes, but is he happy with what you're doing? All right? We've all been kids. Some of us here have kids. Some of us have a lot of kids. I love my kids. I could never love them more than I love them now, but I don't always like what they're doing. I don't delight in their way. one of my kids is here and she's like crunching down in the chair back there. Right? You understand what I'm saying? There's a difference in God loving us and delighting in how we're living our lives, right? And there's the goal. Lord, I want to walk in a way that you're delighted in what I'm doing. Amen. Verse 24. So, guys, if I think these first four verses are like the pinnacle, I think verse 24 is like it. This is what hit me on Wednesday as we prayed through this. It says, when he falls, he will not be hurled headlong because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. So let me just preach around this for a few minutes. Like, I still, like, scratch my head sometimes and I think to myself, okay, so if God is sovereign, which he is, if God is omnipotent, meaning all-powerful, which he is, if God knows the end from the beginning, which he does, if God is omniscient, right, all-present everywhere all the time, if God is, omniscient means all-seeing, omnipotent, or omnipresent everywhere all the time, right? If God sees everything, he's everywhere all the time, he's all-powerful, knows everything, and he's holding my hand, how do I stumble? Right? I mean, there's so many scriptures. You read throughout the stories of guys in the Bible, and it's like these guys are walking with God, and he's like, hey, when you walk through the fire, I'll be with you. And you're like, why are you letting me walk through fire in the first place? Like, if you're so good, I mean, you know, when the rivers come, they won't overtake you. You're like, wait a second, why am I in the rivers in the first place? Like, you're supposed to keep me safe. Anybody else ever think that stuff? Right? When your enemies surround you, I'll be with you. And you're like, why can't you just keep them from surrounding me in the first place? Because that sounds better to me for sure. Right? Can I get an amen? But what we see, guys, is God in his sovereignty, in his wisdom, in his ability, in his omnipotent ability, all-powerful ability, God allows things to happen to us. He allows the enemy to surround us. He allows certain things to happen because he says, look, I can use absolutely anything at any moment, at a split second. God said, I can shift this thing all around. Here's how you see it. But God said, I see it from the other direction, and I know exactly what's going on. I'm using this thing to line this thing up. I'm making you stronger. I'm chipping some stuff off your life. I'm rearranging some things. So you're going to come through this thing and go, look back. You know, the whole hindsight's 20/20, right? We look back and go, oh, all right, that was good. I didn't see that when I was, you know, in it. You know what I mean? Like, we're in it. We're freaking out. Ah! But God's all right. Think of, like, there's this great story in the Old Testament about Elisha. Was Elisha the one with Gehazi or was that Elijah? Was Elisha? I think it was Elisha. Anyway, it's Elisha and Gehazi. Gehazi is his servant. And there's this story where an enemy nation, I forget which enemy it was, but they're coming against Israel. And Elisha has visions of where the enemy is setting traps for the king of Israel. And he keeps sending messages to the king. Don't go here because there's a trap. Don't go here because there's a trap. Don't go here because there's a trap. This goes on for a while. Finally, the king, the enemy king, calls all of his servants in. And he says, which one of you is a traitor? Which one of you is telling the king of Israel where we're setting our traps? And this one of his servants comes in and says, nobody's a traitor, Lord, but there's a prophet in Israel who tells the king, there's a prophet in Israel who tells the king of Israel what you say even in your bedchambers. So the evil king's like, well, let's just go take that guy out. Right? So for months, the Lord's giving Elisha dreams about the enemy coming and setting traps. So the enemy decides to come after Elisha. God doesn't warn him. You're like, wait a second. I'm like, what's up with that? So you give me warnings for him, but when something bad's happening to me, you don't say nothing. But if we know the story, it says that overnight the enemy comes in and circles the town that Elisha's in, and they rise in the morning. Gehazi goes out onto the porch, and he sees the enemy surrounding them, and he goes in. He says, Master, Master, wake up. There are enemies all around us. And Elisha says, Lord, I pray that you open his eyes See, Elisha knew what was going on. The servant didn't. Elisha knew. He says, Lord, I pray that you open his eyes and that he would see that those who are for us are more than those who are against us, right? And Gehazi, boom, the scales fall off his eyes and he sees the mountains are covered with chariots of fire and angels, right? And he says, and then he strikes blindness onto the enemy. Do you see what I'm saying, church? Sometimes when we see something coming that we're like, God, why didn't you warn me? This doesn't look right. This doesn't look good. You told me you're going to do this, but this is happening. You said I was going here, but I'm over here. What's going on? He says, you need to open your eyes. You need to see things from a different perspective. Can I get amen? Right? Sometimes God lets things happen just to shift our perspective and help us see things differently. Right? So this is verse 24. I just look at this. When he falls. Right? So it's like James says we all stumble in many ways, right? But if any man doesn't stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. That's how James puts it, right? So he's talking about the tongue and what we say, right? Speaking life or death, truth or lies, right? Those kinds of things. But if you think about this, it's like when we fall, there's a proverb that says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he gets up again, right? So there's a lot of scriptures that talk about stumbling and falling and different things. But it's like, wait a second. So when he falls, he won't be hurled headlong because, everybody say because. Everybody on Facebook and YouTube say because. The Lord is the one who holds his hand. Guys, I read this on Wednesday and it was like, I honestly felt the peace of God just flood over me. Chris Kaz was here. Same thing. We both of us were like, whoa. And even the guys on the Zoom call, I said, do you guys feel that? Like I could literally feel it. And they're like, yeah, I really do. And I just said, look at this. And what just immediately what hit me was like, so again, my oldest daughter's here. When she was little, we would go somewhere, take her out of the truck, put her on. As soon as her feet hit the ground, her hand would go up. Right, like, hold my hand, Daddy. And, you know, we would walk through the parking lot or wherever we were going. And then Olivia did it, and now Everly's doing it, and then Elena soon. And that's it. In Jesus' name, we are done. Man, totally done. Right? But there's the thing there where I remember preaching that years ago about this concept of like, but the concept for me was more of being the child, right? And saying, I feel safe, right? This is my dad. Like, I'm holding my dad's hand, I feel safe. But notice what David says here. David's perspective is not because I'm holding God's hand. It says, because he's holding yours, right? And it hit me, and the Lord says to me straight up, he says, son, it's not about your ability to hold on to my hand. It's about my ability to hold on to yours, right? If I'm holding Everly's hand and she trips on something, it's not her strength that keeps her from going, right? What does he say here? To be hurled headlong, right? It's the face plant, smack on the pavement, right? It's not her ability that keeps her from going. It's not her strength. It's mine. I feel her go, and I go, whoop, I pick her up just like that, right? Think about Jesus is walking on the water to the disciples. They're in the boat. It's a huge storm, and Jesus, they see him walking on the water. They think he's a ghost. What did he look like if they thought he was a ghost? He didn't, because they knew who Jesus was. He didn't look the same. They were just with him like an hour before that. Can I get amen? He looked different. On the water, they're like, who is that? And Peter, what's Peter say? Well, I think we all know the story. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, call me to come on the water. So Peter steps out of the boat. He's walking, not in the water. He's on the word, right? That's the word of Jesus. He's walking. But as soon as he looks down, he sees the waves. He starts sinking. What does Jesus go? Ah, bro, you should have stayed. You should have kept looking at me. No. Immediately, Jesus is like, pow, grabs him by the hand and picks him up, right? It's not Peter's strength, it's the strength of the Lord that picks him up. Come on, you're all right. You see what I'm saying? And as I was grinding on this verse all week, I just look, guys, I'm just going to tell you, I had lunch with some friends yesterday, some new friends, and this the wife is stepping into the prophetic. She's starting to flow in the prophetic. And she told me that like 6 months ago or so, she had a vision. And in the vision, she saw the United States like a map. And then in the vision, there was a huge hand over it like this. And in the vision, she watched the hand started going like this. And so she said, Lord, what is this? And he says, this is my hand of favor. I'm lifting it off of this nation. Like I've had, God's saying, I've had enough. I've had enough of the sin and idolatry of this country. I'm lifting my hand off of it. And the Lord said to her, chaos is coming. This was 6 months ago. I think that's a pretty accurate word. Can I get amen? And as we were talking at lunch yesterday, and again, there's no fear in my heart about this. I'm not like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? But I said, look, I hope I'm wrong. Part of me, I said to 9 a.m. this morning, part of me hopes I'm wrong, and it's my flesh because I don't want to walk through it. We got things figured out pretty good. Can I get amen, right? But I think that there's some really hard times coming, and I think there's hard times coming very, very soon. I'm like, by the end of this year. I heard one person say this, and just if you get mad on Facebook or YouTube, then fine. I don't think you'll be mad. But the other day I was with someone. They said, oh, you know, this election, and so-and-so is going to win by a landslide. And they said it with like this, like, yes, this election is going to, you know, this candidate is going to win this election, and then everything's going to be great. And I was like, oh, man, you got to wake up, because it doesn't matter which one of those two wins this election. Chaos is coming. Can I get amen? I hope not, y'all, but look, if one wins, then the other side is going to like lose their minds more than we already are, right? And we have been spoiled in America. We've been spoiled. We have not suffered. Some of us have had tough lives, but you see what I'm saying? Like, as far as Christians around the world, we don't understand suffering for 1 second. We don't understand that at all. And I think part of the reason, if you look at nations where the church is persecuted and is suffering, it is powerful. China. If they have a church service where somebody doesn't get healed, they're like, ah, church wasn't that great today. We have a service where somebody gets healed and we're like, what? You know, it's crazy. They're like, people get healed all the time. It happens all the time. Demons cast out all the time. You guys grew up in Africa, right? The church in Africa, powerful, powerful. They don't have cool bands and lights and buildings and everything else. They have the word of God in their faith, and that's it. And, you know, my beloved, again, I like stuff. I'm a musician. I like good stuff. I like music. But you know what? God doesn't need any of this stuff. We like it. God doesn't need it. And I think part of what we're seeing is God is going to strip some stuff away that we've been building church on for a long time. Can I get amen? Guys, I want to see the power of God. And if we need to go through some storms to get there, so be it. Can I get amen? I want to show you something else in here. Verse 25, the Lord says this, or David says this through verse 25. I have been young. Most of us know this scripture, right? I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaking or his descendants begging bread. But look at verse 26. All day long, he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. I'm going to wrap up in just a few minutes right in here. So let me give you guys a couple of things here, right? The Lord establishing our steps doesn't mean that nothing bad is going to come at you. It doesn't mean that you won't suffer. It doesn't mean you won't endure hardship, pain, loss, insults, failure, trial, mistreatment, and more. It means that you won't face it alone. Right? There's not a guy that was walking with God in the Bible that did not go through some hard stuff. But what does the Lord say? Paul says, everyone forsook me, but the Lord is with me. Right? I'm not alone. Jesus is with me. God is with me. And my beloved, we may very well get to a point very soon in our country where we're going to have to stand on that kind of truth. Right? Everything is falling apart, but God is with me. Right? I'm not like, yay, bring it on. Woohoo. But we've been praying, Pastor Al, we were talking the other day, right? We've been praying how long for revival, Pastor Al? Decades. Decades we've been praying for revival. And God says, you want it? Here it comes. I'll share my glory with no man. Right? Revival will not come while the church is full of idols. It's not going to happen. He says, I'm going to take them all down. All of them. There's prophetic voices out there right now, my beloved, that are saying these churches, these huge churches, and I like big churches. To me, it's not the size of the church that's the problem, but they're saying a lot of these huge ministries are going to come crashing down because it's all smoke and mirrors. There's nothing going on. Right? Great production, great music, great programs, the whole nine yards, but there's no kingdom in it. It's going to come crashing right down, built on sand. I don't know. We'll see. If those prophetic words are true, then that's what's going to happen. Can I get amen? Right? You know what my prayer has been? I want to make the cut. The Lord says, there's a remnant. I've kept the remnant aside. I'm going to protect this remnant. I'm going to see you through it. Right? Just like I finished up this morning, we'll probably pray this, the early service, I will probably pray this again at the end, but in the land in Egypt, the land of Goshen, right, when God's delivering his people, all the Israelites lived in the land of Goshen in Egypt. And some people, there's 10 plagues come. I personally believe that those plagues did not hit the land of Goshen. Some people think the first four hit everybody, and then the last six only hit Egypt, and Goshen was kept away from it. I don't know. That's just, I don't see it that way, but neither here nor there. My point is this. It is definitely obvious that the last six plagues hit the land of Egypt, and Goshen was right in the middle of Egypt, and it didn't hit God's people. Can I get amen? Right? So many times we see so many scriptures that talk about, you know, this is going to happen. It's going to come right up to your doorstep, but it's not going to get you. Right? You'll see it, but it's not going to get on you. You're going to watch it, but it's not going to get on you. My beloved, I want to release this over you this morning. Everyone on Facebook and YouTube this morning, you need to grab onto that. You need to say, Lord, help me make the cut. Help my heart be in the right position. Help me be humble. Help me not be someone that's leaning on Egypt. Help me not be someone that's leaning on my job. Help me not be someone that's leaning on my neighbor. Help me not be someone that's leaning on my spouse. Help me not be someone that's leaning on my kids. Help me not be someone that's leaning on the government. Oh my goodness, we got to stop leaning on the government, for crying out loud. I like stimulus checks, but we got to pay it all back, everybody. Come on. Can I get amen, right? We need to stop leaning on anything but the word of God and the kingdom of God. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. The Lord says he's going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to shake everything. The only thing that will not be shaken is the kingdom, right? And this morning I shared at 9 a.m. I had a vision. The Lord, it's funny, I've had many visions over the years. I've got stacks of notebooks in my office. I need to go start going through them, but the Lord brought back a vision I had about 15 years ago. I saw the state of Connecticut, similar to that other lady, but it was just like a map. I was looking at it, and like the middle of it, like highlighted, not like clear, but like jagged, almost like it was like counties or something. I got to go look at it. But it was definitely following the Connecticut River Valley, which we're right in the smack in the middle of it right here, right? And it like Kyla was like glowing in this vision. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, son, I'm going to establish my kingdom here. Again, this is 15 years ago, everybody. So as soon as he said that, I'm like, yes, the church is going to explode, right? Like, I'm thinking he's talking about River Valley, right? And the Lord's like, I didn't say River Valley. I said my kingdom, of which River Valley can be a part of if we want to be. Can I get any church can be if they want to be, right? Can I get amen? But this is what he said. I'm establishing my kingdom there. And he said, don't worry about the economy. Don't worry about the government. Don't worry about the culture. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Don't worry about any of it. Because I'm going to release my culture. I'm going to release my kingdom. I'm going to release my truth. I am coming. I'm coming right here. It's coming. And he said this to me. If you ever gone to someone's house and you walk in and you just go, oh, you feel it, right? This oppression. You can feel like a heaviness. And you go, boy, something's wrong. Can I get amen? You ever been there? You just meet somebody and you go, yikes, they're off, right? And you just feel it. The Lord said to me, it's like that, but it'll be the opposite. People will come into the region and they'll go, this is church, I'm telling you, he said literally on the highway, they'll be on the highway, drive into it and go, oh, there's something different here. Guys, there are stories of revival where truck drivers driving by churches on the highway, drive by the church and they just, boom, they get off the highway, find the church running. What's going on in here? God spoke to me and told me I had to come in right off the highway. They're like, well, who are you? I was driving by on my truck and the Lord told me to come here. this stuff happens, y'all, right? I believe with all my heart that God is calling us to step away and be holy unto him, right? And all of this stuff we're seeing, it's pulling on our emotions, it's pulling on our, you know, pulling on our ethnicity, pulling on our, what color our skin is, pulling on all kinds of stuff. And God's saying, you need to stop letting people pull on that stuff. Either you're a new creation in Christ Jesus or you're not. Ouch. Praise God. I said this early service. God is good to people who have not said yes to Jesus. Can I get amen, right? Because that's who he is. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He provides food for everybody, right? And you know, the Bible says that God gives all men the ability to gain wealth. All men, not just his people. Everybody. Everybody's got a job. You're making money. God gives you the ability to do it because he's good, right? But my beloved, God has only made a covenant with those that have said yes to Jesus, right? It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So everyone in here this morning, if you said yes to Jesus, you are in a covenant relationship with God, and he is not going to let his beloved people suffer. Suffering may be going on around us. Do you understand what I'm saying? It might come close. It'd come close enough to like shake the house. You see what I'm saying? Remember we had this thunderstorm years ago. I like to sit outside in thunderstorms. We had a carport at our house, and I was standing under it outside. You know what I mean? And this thunderstorm was coming. I knew it was coming at us. I think Madeline might have been outside with me. One of my kids was. And all of a sudden, like, you ever know that if when you hear the thunderclap, or the lightning strike and then the thunderclap, if you count seconds, that's how far away the storm is. You guys ever hear that? It was coming right at us. I was like counting it off, and all of a sudden, one, I thought it hit my house. Like, it was instantaneous, and it was so loud, it shook my house. And I went inside after that. Yeah, I didn't. But I'm saying, guys, my point is, what the chaos could come that close? But if we're hidden in the Lord, this is what we talked about last week. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Wow. If we're hidden with God, what's going to get us? Can I get amen? Let me wrap it up here in a few moments here, right? So David is who wrote this psalm, and again, I don't know really how old he is, but if you think about David was 30 when he became king. He reigned, it's like 35 years or 37 years, whatever it is, I forget. So he was like late 60s when he was done being king. And in this verse 25, he says, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor children begging bread. So David's got to be like 60s, maybe in the 70s or something like this, when he writes this. And you think about David's life, everybody. Like David, we know David is like, we talk about David taking Goliath out. We're like, wow, cool. I was reading that again the other day. This particular guy was saying that David, between when he was anointed initially by Samuel and when he became king, was 20 years. If he's 30 when he becomes king, that means he was 10 years old when Samuel anointed him to be king over Israel. Wow. 10 years old. And at 10 years old, you know what he was doing? Killing lions and bears. Dude. Killing lions and bears at 10 years old. That's crazy, right? So we know about Goliath. We know about, you know, David's a man after God's own heart. We know he makes the tabernacle of David. We like all the cool stuff. We're like, oh yeah, David. But we know he sins with Bathsheba, has a man murdered, tries to cover the whole thing up, gets called out by the prophet, and the baby dies. At the end of his life, he takes a census of his kingdom. 70,000 of his own people die because of his own ego and pride, right? David's kind of a mess. But you think about it, he spends at least 10 years, everybody, at least 10 years being chased around by Saul, who'd lost his mind. Saul's trying to kill him. I mean, at one point, because Saul's got an evil spirit on him from the Lord, the Bible says, from the Lord, not from the devil, from the Lord, an evil spirit on him. And David would come play his guitar and the spirit would leave, right? And so one day he comes in, he plays his guitar and the spirit doesn't leave, and Saul picks up a spear, whoom, throws it at David, it misses David and hits the wall, and David's like, I think he's upset. I don't know, but two separate times. I mean, if you throw a spear at me once, I wouldn't be coming back. Twice I'll throw a spear at him. But think about this, guys. Here's the point. David spends years running from Saul. Years. Hiding in caves. Alone. And he's got his 600 mighty men. What those guys start out as 600 like losers, man. Right? That's what the Bible calls them. In debt. You know, destitute. Depressed. These guys were a mess, and David helped all these guys turn their lives around. Can I get an amen? But he thinks, so this is all we think. You can't think of just the cool stuff that David did. Like when David says this, he's like, look, I've been through some rough stuff. I've been through some times where I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I've been through some times I wasn't sure I was going to live. But he says, not one time did God forsake me. Not one time. Not one time did I go to bed with my belly not full. Not one time. And you know, not just me, but I've seen other righteous men, and God didn't forsake them either. And they never went to bed hungry. Can I get an amen, church? It's like we got to understand, God is saying, man, I'm just going to tell you, we are close to seeing empty grocery stores in America. We're close. There are truckers right now, everybody, saying, if the police get defunded, we're not coming. If truckers don't come, grocery stores are empty. Boy, why isn't the news blasting that all over the place? Because it doesn't fit the narrative. Can I get amen? We're close, everybody. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to, the Lord's saying, you got to open their eyes. We got to see this so we're not blindsided by it. Can I get amen? Look, he says, I was young and I'm old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. Verse 26, all day long. Everybody say, all day long. All day long. He's gracious. Not an uppercase H, lowercase H. Right here. All day long, I'm gracious. Generous, right? All day long, he's gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Man, I read that and I said, God, I want that. I don't, because what do we do, man? When stuff starts going hard, you know what we do? We circle the wagons, man. We hoard. We go, oh my gosh, I better not do this. I better not, because I don't know when more's coming. You know, that's when COVID-19 hits, what? Toilet paper, right? But you guys remember that? That seems like that was years ago, doesn't it? That was just a couple months ago, people buying 9 million rolls of toilet paper. You're like, you can't eat that stuff, you know. I mean, I guess you could, but you'd mess up pretty good, right? Toilet paper, for crying out loud. Why did everybody get toilet paper? But there's the mindset, right? People that don't know the Lord, if something looks like it's not going to work, you know what we do? We hoard everything. We're selfish. We self-preservation mode. But the Word of God tells us the opposite. When God is moving in my heart, I'm not going to be in self-preservation mode. I'm going to be in preserve you mode. I'm going to give. I'm going to bless. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to be gracious, right? Can I get any mentors? This is what God's calling us to be. These gracious people who always lend, right? There's a great country song just came out. The guys are Christians in the band. And there's one line of the song says this: when you're down to your last dollar, will you give? Or will you take? And the song's called How They Remember You. And the whole thing is just about, how did you live your life? Did you live your life in a way that they remember you? He says, that's not if they remember you, it's how. Right? And so I've always, from day one, I've said, Lord, when I'm 80, 90, however old I get, I said, how do I want people to remember me? I want people to look back and say, man, he was a real deal. He was a man of God. He was a man who lived the Word of God. He was a man. He was a kingdom man, right? Let's all stand up. We're done right here. We're just going to pray for a moment or two, a couple minutes. Jesus' name. Is this all right with everybody? All right. So, guys, I got a one paragraph little summation of these four verses here quickly, and then we're going to pray a couple things over you. Just bless you in the name of the Lord. But what we see from David, he's saying, when we commit our ways to the Lord, when we stop digging our heels in and insisting that God serve us rather than us serving him, God will get to work establishing your steps. Not only do we hold his hand, but far more importantly, he holds ours. And because he holds ours, no matter what comes our way, even though it may be straight from the hand of the devil himself, the righteous will never be forsaken, nor will the children beg for bread. We will be gracious and lend, and our children will be a blessing. Amen. How many of us, I mean, most of us have kids in here. How many, guys, as a dad, it's like, I want nothing more than my kids to be a blessing. Not just be blessed, but be a blessing. All right? So, Lord God, we thank you for this time together this morning. I want to finish up, guys, just with a quick story from the Bible, Old Testament story, but I want to, like, kind of give it as a prophetic release over all of us here and all of us on the stream right now. The prophet Elijah is the prophet that goes up against Jezebel and Ahab, right? And Elijah is the one that predicts a drought over the land of Israel. And Jezebel finds out and she says, you're a dead man. If I find you, you're a dead man. And so he leaves, he runs away. But the Lord tells Elijah, right? Elijah says, it's not going to rain, but by my word, right? So it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain, right? So the Lord says, go hide by this river and I'm going to send ravens and feed you. So he goes and hides by this river. It doesn't tell us how long he's there, but it's quite a while. The drought lasts 3.5 years. He's there long enough for the river to dry up. We know that, right? But he's sitting there for months. Every day, ravens fly in and bring this guy cheeseburgers or something. We don't even know what he's getting. But he's getting something every single day, twice a day. Ravens show up, bring this guy food because the Lord told him to, right? You know what the Lord says to me as I'm reading through that again? I read that story a lot. He says to me, do I need your bank account to take care of you? If you're doing what I told you to do, I'm going to make sure you got some food in your belly, right? So as he's sitting there, everybody, the river dries up, and Elijah starts thinking, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do now? I got to have something to drink. And he prays, and the Lord says, no, go over to this city, and there's a widow over there. Everybody say widow. A widow, right? Now it's in a drought. He goes, he finds this widow, and he says, hey, how's it going? You know, how's your day going, whatever? And she says, well, I've got a little bit of oil, a little bit of meal. I'm gonna make a coffee cake, and then me and my son are gonna die. And Elijah doesn't say, oh my gosh, that's so terrible. I can't believe you're going through this hard time. He says to her, make me a cake first. What? I try to picture myself saying that to somebody, like, hey, how's it going? Man, my life has just fallen apart. I'm like, all right, well, make me a steak first. Right? But this is what Elijah says. Bake me something first. She does it. And then after he's eaten this cake, which she was going to eat and die, he says, she's got just a little bit of oil left. He says, go get some containers, some vessels, and start pouring this oil. And the Bible says she pours oil out of this little jar of oil. She keeps pouring it until there's no vessels left to pour oil into. And my beloved, I want to share that story with you and release it prophetically over you to say, look, God does not need an abundance in the economy, abundance around us to make you abundant. What he needs, again, she's down to her last dollar. Does she give or does she take? Right? Father, in Jesus' name, I release this right now over this congregation, Lord. I know even on the 9 a.m. service, we release prophetically provision right now, Father. Lord, yes, we get paychecks. I think every one of us here gets a paycheck, and there's a name on top of that paycheck. But, Lord, we know that you are our provider. And that's just the vessel through which that finance comes, Lord, through which that provision comes, Father. But, Lord God, we know that you are our provider, God. You, if you could feed Elijah with ravens, you can feed me any way you want to feed me. You can make sure that my bills get paid, Father, no matter what happens. If the U.S. economy crashes tomorrow and gold is worth dirt, Father, you are going to make a way for us to make it, God. You are going to bring our provision. You are going to get our bills paid. You are going to get our bellies full, Father. You're going to keep us healthy and strong, Father God. Lord, if chaos erupts around us, so God, you will keep us safe and strong, Father God. You will hide us under the shadow of your wing, oh God. You will keep us safe. Father, in Jesus' name, we lay down, as the Word of God tells us, any anxiety about what's going on out there, casting all of our cares on you because you care for us. So, Lord God, I release rest onto this congregation, onto everyone watching on YouTube and Facebook. I release rest on you right now. The rest of the Spirit of God, supernatural peace. And, Father, that we would go forth with boldness and confidence and bring the kingdom of God in the midst of the chaos in our country right now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Be blessed. Enjoy 4th of July next weekend. Enjoy that. Stay safe. Amen. See you guys soon. Wednesday night, guys, we are praying here in the building again. So if you'd like to come and pray, we start at 7:30, go till about 8:30 or 9 o'clock. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a good week.